Oh, by the way, kids, you're going to go with Mary Lou and Miss Carmen and Miss Mary. You're going to go do a craft. Hazel, you can stay here. Your craft is like foreign to you right now. So feel free to go on back there and hang out, and it'll be good to go. So, Vacation Bible School is June the, where are we? Third week of June, 9 to 1. Just want to remind you of that. Go ahead and get it in your calendar. That's going to be 3 days of rock star fun for the kids. We're taking 5 days and slamming it into three. And we got some pretty fun stuff that's set up for them then. And then also men this Saturday at 8 o'clock. We'll have our monthly men's breakfast to kind of get together, do a couple of songs, get some really good teaching, and one of my favorite things to do, which is just a fellowship. So let me ask you a question. A few weeks ago we had a thing that says, what is an oath? Let me ask you this. What's a blessing? What's a blessing? It's open forum. What's a blessing? Gift from God, right? What is a blessing? When a father lays his hand on a son, when a father lays his hand on a daughter, what is that? What's that blessing? Pardon? He's given his authority in that sense, right? He's given credence to what's going on. Can we get that thing wrong from time to time? Absolutely. You know one of the biggest ways that we can get it wrong? By doing nothing. By doing nothing. You know, we're going to get to an opportunity, we're in Genesis 27, to kind of see what a blessing can and can't look like. What we've had here when Pastor Brent was teaching a couple of 3 weeks ago, he was teaching out of Genesis 25, and I think we were in, let me see if I wrote that verse, 22, I thought. Genesis 25 and 22. Yeah, that's it. Anyway, we have Esau and we have Jacob in mom's womb. Funny how right when we're in Scripture, we're right on Mother's Day talking about children being born. Ladies, I have no experience in this. What's it like to have somebody tickle your tummy from the inside? Doesn't that feel good when they crack your ribs? Right? Yeah, you digging that? Do you like the whole spinal grab, you know? Huh? Or where you have to sit down and you kind of work your way down? So when they're moving around on their own, what's that like? I don't know. All I can tell about it is like bad pizza and chocolate. What's it like for y'all to have to go through birthing pangs? Is it rough? Is it easy? Well, I don't know. You're going to have to tell me. Somebody just blurt it out. You don't remember? That's fair. That's fine. It would kill a man? So would a truck. But if God wired us for it, we could handle it, right? That's right. Not easy, right? How about when you have two of them?
On the same day, 4 minutes apart.
Having a cat fight in a tummy, right? That's what's going on. They got WWE going on inside that stomach. You know, and she's sitting there going, dude, or you would say, Lord, what is going on in my gut? What's going on in my womb? You know, whenever there's a challenge, it's always good to go to the Lord and get that understanding. Go to 22. Father, your word as you see fitting. Blow us up on that. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. We'll get one to you. There's paper. If you have plastic, just download YouVersion and you're there. And you're there. But the children struggled together within her. And she said, if all is well, why am I like this? And I love this next part. So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, two nations in your womb, two people shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger, and the older shall serve the younger. So when her days were fulfilled for her to give birth, indeed there were twins in her womb, and the first came out red. He was like a hairy garment. She gave birth to an orangutan, right? And so they named him Esau, which is red. Afterward, the brother came out with his hand a hold of Esau's heel, and his name was Jacob, which meant heel catcher. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. So the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, man of the field. But Jacob was a mild man. So what do we have? We got somebody that's going to Office Depot, and we got somebody else that's going to Bass Pro Shop. Does that help? Okay. Good. Dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he ate his game. He just liked to eat, right? And Rebekah loved her Jacob. She stayed close to him. Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field. This is obviously further down the road. And he was weary. He was worn out. And Esau said to Jacob, please, and this Esau's the older red hairy guy, please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary. Therefore his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, sell me your birthright as of this day. And Esau said, look, I'm about to die. So what is this birthright to me? How am I going to cash this in? Am I going to cash my birthright in for a Mickey D's coupon? Give me some food, pal. It's yours. He says, swear to me as of this day. And he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank and arose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. What a deception going along the way. Obviously, God saw it in advance, because God doesn't see time in days as we do. We see day and night. That was made for our purpose. He says, sees yesterday, he sees tomorrow and today in one time frame. In one time frame. He saw all this was going to be going down. He saw the battle in the womb. He sees your battle whenever you have challenges going on. And again, I love when she had a battle. First thing she did was go to the Lord to find out, why am I feeling like this? But Jacob, man, he had to have that first son birthright. We're in a different culture. Birthright doesn't have a whole lot to say for us today, right? I mean, you always see the younger guy or the younger gal trying to one-upsman the older brother or sister. Are any of y'all the youngest or a younger to somebody that's older? Raise your hand. Are you younger? Okay. And by the other hand, are you the oldest? Who's the oldest? Okay. So let me ask you olders real quick. Now, you can put your hand down. Does the younger one just drive you nuts a little bit? It's okay. If they're sitting right next to you, don't worry. I'm getting to them here in a minute. They do, because they want to do everything you do. And your personality just blows in the wind. Now, I know we're not painting a broad brush here, but they want to have everything that you have. And all you want to have is some kind of identity, little upstart. You didn't even have to learn anything. You just watch what I did and didn't do it. Right? And then the younger one, right? The older one's always trying to hold you down. Yeah? Trying to keep you back from doing what you want to do. I'm going to show you, not only am I going to do what you did, I'm going to do it better. I want to make a name for myself in it, to whatever degree. I mean, the example I was giving first service that had popped into my head was the Williams girls, tennis players. What's the first one? Venus. There, Venetia. We got a Venetia here, and now I was thinking Venice. I was like, Venice? No, that's not in here. What is it again? Venus. Venus and Serena, right? I always loved Venus. She was just stable. She just went in there. She's yeoman about her work. Didn't say a whole lot. Won her championships. And along comes Serena. And you almost don't even know the older one anymore, right? Right? What I do like about them, and I don't know where they're going with their faith, but I like that glory is given to God regardless. You see that younger one going after it. But that he would pick on him when he had a hunger in his belly. You know? He's trying to rob him out of that blessing of first birthright. Yeah? Well, you know what? What we're going to see is robbing a blessing, the second action that would have happened, because time has gone on a little bit now. What is up with this guy? Don't you think, Jacob, don't you think God would have blessed you had you not have been deceptive? Don't you think God would have blessed you had you just given him the meal anyway? No, you got to take this thing into your own hand. You're desiring after something that may be good, but when you're trying to supplant somebody else to do it, I don't know that's so good. But you know what's cool is God blessed him anyway. No matter what happened, God still blessed this fella. Let me ask you a question. When you screw up and you blow it and you suck, right, do you feel very blessable? And you want to know something? Jesus already paid the price. He's the filter. Doesn't mean you get to go around and sin, but you also don't need to carry that baggage of it. You know, maybe you carried something poor against somebody else, or you tried to take out your older sibling or be that squashed down older sibling. Maybe you're a jerk to your family members, or they were a jerk to you, or maybe they did some really desperately ugly stuff to you. You know, God still loves you and loves them too. Still loved Jacob and Esau as well. Kind of keep that as the overtone and underpinning of this. 27, chapter 1. verse 1, chapter 27. Now it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were so dim that he could not see. So he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." And he said, "My son." And he answered, "Here I am." Well, I love that, man. You call out to your kids. When you call out to your kids, do they just come running? "Hi, Mom. I'm here. What do you need?" No, they don't do that. They don't even say "just a minute." They just think "just a minute," right? "Here I am." Then he said, "Behold, I'm old, and I do not know the death of my day. Now, therefore, please take your weapons, your quiver, your bow, and go out to the field and hunt for game, and make me savory food, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die." Why is he even thinking about death at 137 years old? Because his half-brother, Ishmael, died at 137 years old. Tell me you that have older brothers or older sisters that may have died before you, or a parent that had died before you at a certain age. You don't think about that when you hit that age. Right? I know my father is 86 years old, and I remember when I was a young guy, my last name is Pierce, and they said, "The Pierce men die at 60. And I was sitting there as a kid going, "Who said that?" It was like, "Okay, here's your Pierce card, and you're going at 60. I'm like, "Whatever." Right? Well, I didn't say whatever then. I was like, "That's screwy." And I remember them when they approached 60, and there was this, I don't know if panic would be the case, but there was this dissettled feeling, this unsettled way in their heart, right? And you get that way when you start to understand your mortality is not going to be forever in this body. So he's thinking about it, and he's old and he can't see. I'm wearing glasses now. I got to go without glasses till I was 40 and change. It was so nice. And then something right at that tail end of 40, man, my eyes just started going south real quick. But I haven't had my eyes go so far south that I couldn't see. It'd be like looking through this with your eyes partially cracked with a blur to them. We even saw it's hard to read, right? It's hard to read when you don't have your readers. Yeah? Just have people whisper in your ear for you. "That my soul may bless you before I die." Now Rebekah, his wife, Isaac's wife, was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt game to bring it. So Rebekah spoke to Jacob, her inward son, and said, "Indeed, I heard your father speak to Esau, your brother, saying, 'Bring me game. Make savory food for me, that I may eat it and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice according to what I commanded you. Go now to the flock. Bring me from there two choice kids of goats.'" So they're going to go kill kids. Goats. Small goats. "And I will make savory food from them for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall take it to your father that he may eat it and that he may bless you before his death." Oh, so we got heel catcher that goes out and makes red lentil soup and takes his birthright. Now he's going to blessing and mom's jumping in on it. Dude, didn't we just talk a couple of weeks ago about the shadow of a father's reach? Because Abraham or Isaac was the topic, can have a generational overtone. Who was her brother? Laban? The liar? Man, what is up with this deception to get your way? You don't think you didn't lie? Cookie jar, 3 years old, trail of crumbs, mainly on your face, chocolate chips everywhere, right? Did you get in the cookie bowl? No. We want our way. She wants her way. She's enticing her son to go ahead and live this life and fulfill his lie, excuse me. And the food that Esau made, who do you think taught him how to make that food? I mean, he wasn't even on the planet and she was making this really great food for her man. Yeah? She knows how to make that food. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mom, "Look, Esau, my brother, is a hairy fella. And I'm a smooth-skinned man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be a deceiver to him, and I shall bring a curse on myself, not a blessing." Dude, you're already a liar. Having furry arms just enhances your lie. And look what mom says. Instead of worrying about the blessing, and we saw an earlier blessing here. But his mom said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son, and obey my voice, and go get them for me, those kids." So let me get this right. Have you ever stood before the Lord accursed? Maybe you want to caution yourself with that one. In other words, don't worry, mommy's got it. You go do what I tell you to do, right? And he went and he got them and he brought them to his mother and made his mother made savory food just as father loved. Then Rebekah took the choice clothes of her elder son Esau and put them on him so he would smell like that. But you want to hear something really kind of cool? You know those fresh kids that he just killed? And kids, for the younger ears, they're baby goats, all right? Which is, yeah, we're not skinning kids. Anyway, that's that fresh flesh being wrapped around your arms. Now, all of my animal lover friends, I know you're kind of freaking out right now, so get over it. So anyway, they put it on there, and they wrapped around his neck. That's gross, man. But even if you understand the blood sacrifice, I'm just sitting there going, the blood of your sin is on your arms and your neck. I know that's extra biblical, but it just seemed kind of quirky in my head when I was reading that. Really, you want to do that? And she put in 16 of 27, and she put the skins of the kids on the goats, on the hands and on the smooth part of his neck. Then she gave him savory food and bread, which she made, which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. I mean, with Esau, he was going to make the food, right? So we have yet another lie. So he went to his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" You know, his hearing's adequate. Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn." Lie. I have done just as you told me. Lie. Please arise, sit and eat of my game. Lie, that your soul may bless me. But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you found it so quickly, my son?" Dude, you got to go out there and track the thing down. Right? Clean it, bring it home, cook it up, get it done. Takes time. How did you do it so quickly? And he says, "Because," careful, Ten Commandments here, "because the Lord your God brought it to me." Bro, your lying mama did it, and you jumped in because you wanted it. Forgive me, I'm not picking on the mom, but I am. But when you sit there and you take the name of the Lord God in vain, that means for your own purpose, it's not cuss words. That's kind of part of it, but that's like what you tell your little kids. And you shouldn't. You should tell them that you're using the Lord for your own will and your own desire. You may want to be way careful with that. "Because the Lord your God brought it to me." Dude, you invoke the Lord on this. That is so stinking wrong. 21. Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near me that I may feel you, son." Because what he's hearing and the timing is not working out for him, right? Just let me feel you here a bit. So Jacob went near his father and he felt him. He said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother and Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And then he said, "Are you really my son Esau?" "I am." Another lie. Another lie. You know, one thing I love about the Bible, they don't hide anything. You know, in the world, you know, we're supposed to be so tolerant of everybody, but everybody hides stuff. You know, you see that on news, pick your day, pick the newsreel. But in the Bible, they leave it wide open and exactly how it is. They see the liars because we're the same. "Are you really?" "I am." Liar. He said, "Bring it near me and I will eat of the game that my soul may bless you." So he brought it near him. He ate and drank, and he brought him wine and he drank. And later, Isaac said to him, "Come near now and kiss me and my son." And he came near and he kissed him and he smelled the smell of his clothing and blessed him. Do you understand the checkpoints that he's doing here? The voice doesn't line up. The hairy arms, why is it so wet? The lie, the God blessing, and then, "Come here, let me do it." I mean, you got to, hats off to Isaac. I mean, he's doing everything he can from what he can see. But you want to know something that I was thinking when I was reading this? Was, that's just like us, though. You know, he heard his word and heard that it was askew. But everything that he had touched, that's what he was confirming with. When we hear the word of God, we won't listen to it. We'll go with what we know. We'll go with what we can see or touch, feel, taste, etc. But even though the word of God is being spoken, or you've read what's been written in it, You still won't listen. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. We're stiff-necked people. Where am I at? Somebody tell me. Oh, yeah. 25, thanks. And he said, bring it near to me, and I'll eat my son's game so that my soul may bless you. So he brought it near him, and he ate. But I love that he smelled his clothes. Yeah, there we go. You know, he smelled his clothes. Can you tell when somebody comes in from the cold? You know, you've been in a nice, warm, rosy house, and they come in from the cold, and maybe you give them a hug, and you know, you're sitting there just normally breathing, and they smell like the snow that just got blown. You can tell where people have been. You can tell. And he said, I've touched you. Your voice sounds a little weird. Everything lines up so far. Surely the smell of my son is like the smell of the field, which the Lord has blessed. Therefore, may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let peoples serve you, and nations bow down to you, and be masters over your brethren. And let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be anyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you. He gave him a full-on blessing, didn't he? Dude, how can you receive a blessing like that when you feel so unblessable? But didn't like God as well? See, because the thing is, it's not about our works or our good deeds or not, because in Isaiah 55, it talks about our works are as filthy rags, meaning that they're worthless without him leading the way. And there's so many times I'll sit there and go, you know, the Lord's trying to bless me, and I just feel so unblessable because I've been so unworthy. But you want to know something? He doesn't see me. He sees Christ and me behind it, because Christ paid that penalty, and he paid for the sins, multiple sins. Not just the ones that the highlight reels that you have in your head, that you've sinned because you've sinned against God and humanity suffered that. Humanity is the people that are around you in this case. It's those little ones, those little murders of the heart because you don't like somebody the way they act, their attitude was, or maybe you just didn't want to read the word today. You know, I don't want anything to do with that. That's how you feel in your heart. Hurt me to do that, by the way, because we don't want anything to do with him. We want it our way. We want to be the way of Jacob. That's not how he wants us to be. He wants us to be with him. He wants us to be in his tent. Sorry, Lord. And my friend who gave it to me. I don't want that blessing because I don't feel I'm worthy of it. But you know what? God just doesn't feel that way because he's a covenant agreement God. He's going to follow through with whatever he said he's going to do no matter what you did or have done. Did you know that? As bad as you can get, confess to him or not, he's still going to be God. He's not freaked out by you because he's seen it all and he already knows what you're going to do. He just wants you to surrender. And you guys got kids that are wayward? You have kids that are wayward? Don't raise your hand. Maybe you're the one. You know, and it breaks your heart when they go wayward. Breaks your heart when you go wayward from God, too. But he gave us that resolve with Christ on the cross. In 30, now it happened as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob. Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from hunting, and he had also had made savory food, just like mom made, and brought it to his father and said to his father, let my father arise. I mean, he's coming in. He's so stoked. He's doing what his dad asked him to do. He's fulfilling. Let my father arise and eat his son's game that your soul may bless me. And his father Isaac said to him, who are you? I'm your son, your firstborn son, Esau. The next generation. No, it's the second one. Isaac trembled exceedingly. Why? He understands the authoritative nature of giving out a blessing. Let your yes be your yes, your no be your no. You have to be women of your word. You have to be men of your word. But this is even more so because he blessed out of order. Order meaning firstborn, right? In this regard. Do you understand that your word has matters and facts? Do you understand that? When you give your word to somebody, it needs to be your word. Where I come from, your signature and your handshake is your bond and your seal. End of story. That's why I don't promise people a lot of things. Not that I have a weak word, I have a weak mind, if you don't mind. He trembled, but he trembled exceedingly. You know, we don't just take people in here and say, hey, you know what, I'm a kick and worship player, I can do this and that. Bro, you need to hang out with us a while because I don't know you. You're going to bring damage to the flock? Is your intent to undermine the things that the Lord is doing here? It's not a cult thing. It's a protecting the flock thing. Love you, bro. Want to play music. Looks like your heart's good. But you know what? There's sheep that come in and wolves that come in sheep's clothing. Remember when we did Wolves Tuesday night and we saw what it looked like for a wolf to tear a carcass? Be careful what you give credence to. Be careful what you bless. Be careful what your word says. Be careful what you say. Do not lie. Best to tell a truth, suffer the consequences then, than to tell a lie upon a lie upon a lie until you don't even recognize the truth any longer. How many lies have we seen here? Right? I am your son. Trembled exceedingly and said, who? Where's the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate all of it before you came, and I have blessed him. And indeed, he shall be blessed. Will and shall are promises. He shall be blessed. When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceedingly great, ah! This isn't, I stubbed my toe. This is something that's ripping out of a guy. And he's mad, and he's hating Jacob. Yeah? Why? Dude, you sold your birthright. Some of that's on you. Do you know how old he is? What, do you think he's like 25? He's 77, bro. Some of you haven't hit that yet. Some of you have forgotten what it was like to hit that. Doesn't matter. He's 77, and these pranks and these lies and these fabrications are going on. And I know they can go on in your lives as mine as well, unchecked by the Lord. Playing games. 77. I'll never forget a guy that I was jury duty on. They wouldn't take me because of being involved with the police. And the guy was 70 and changed. I can't remember exactly that. And his neighbor had taken a fence in a non-HOA area. It wouldn't have mattered anyway. And he painted the backside of the fence, the inside of the fence, a color that the guy would see from his porch, which he did not like. The guy hops the fence. He tells him about it. They have this historic pattern of argument over a paint color. And he gets in the backyard. He knocks over the guy's fence because he don't like. Dude, he can build it up and paint it the same color again. And the defense guy comes in and says, I want you to forget all your biases when you come. You need to be neutral. I'm like, dude, my mom and my dad raised me a certain culture. How am I going to get rid of that? You want to pull from my mind based on how I was raised, but you want me to get rid of everything I was raised so I can just listen to you? I talked to that guy. Said he asked me about it. I was like, dude, that guy was wrong. I didn't make it on the jury. That guy was wrong. I don't care how you paint it. That guy was wrong. Was he wrong to kick out? As soon as he put it in his heart to jump over that fence, when was he wrong? Right then and there. And then the actions followed what the heart was doing. Really? Dude, you're 77 and you stole your brother's blessing. Dude, you're 77 and you challenged that, and your heart has always been to challenge after being in first place. God would have blessed you regardless, but that's not how the story is written. God blessed him in this. You can tell I'm not God. You ought to be thankful of that. I'm kind of a hard guy. Ask anybody who lives in my house. I got things that you take shoes off when you come into my house. Don't bring your muddy shoes in my home. I'm trying to make my carpet last way longer than your visit. You know? Just to let you know, I had 3-year carpet I made last 9 years. I couldn't afford good carpet, so we took our shoes off, and it lasted a good long time. I think it was wood floor time we changed it, but that's another story. Your brother came with deceit and has taken your blessing. He is not right. Is he not rightly named Jacob, which means heel or supplanter? For he has supplanted me twice. Dude, and you let it happen twice. Fool me once. You guys know that? Shame on you. Fool me twice. Shame on me. It's old, but it still needs to be heard. He took away my birthright, and now look, he's taken away my blessing. 77. And he said, have you not reserved a blessing for me? Dude, when you cry, you know, some of you that are a little older in here, it may have been a while since you cry, or maybe you're easy to tears, however. But you know those tears are those ones that really rip it out of you? Why can you cry so deep? Why can you go to grief so deep and pull that right back out? I tend to think because you've seen so much and you can get there like super quick. I tend to think that you've seen the pains of life and the challenges that you've created somebody else's demise as they had to put up with you. I think also that it's just not worth that antagonistic way between people. And there's a lament that goes soulfully deep. My tears, when there is something of great legitimate in my heart, when somebody that I know can do better and doesn't, I lament in my heart so deeply for them. Why should I care so much about where they're going? I should care more about where Jesus would have them, and me pray that in the midst. But I can't. I think love has some moorings in that. Now, don't kid yourself. I'm not going to say, well, he didn't talk to me, so I'm going to go ball myself into a sleep or anything like that. It's just that you see wasted time, I think, much as any. There's people that are going to hell. They need to hear about Jesus Christ. God wouldn't condemn. Yeah, he would. You already are. Sin, apples, garden. The condemnation is already there. He gave an opportunity to get out from that. Remember that whole John 3:16 thing? Where he says, what did he say? How'd that go? John 3:16? Go. Where he gave his only begotten son, right? You know the 17 says? He didn't come to condemn the world, but to save it. Nobody ever sees that part. They only think, what do you mean, only one God to get there? Yeah, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody gets the Father but through me. But he didn't come here to condemn it. He came to save it. Well, I don't believe that. It doesn't matter. I don't care. No matter that you said it doesn't matter, still don't believe it. Well, go to hell. That's really rude. Well, I'm sorry, but I'd rather die grabbing your ankle as you're heading to hell to tell you about the love of Jesus Christ so you don't have to go there. I don't care what you believe, because I also believe that as well. Until God took this boy and turned him around big time later in life. And then poured some serious truth of what he has going on that we think we know with our Gnostic ways. Then as Isaac answered him, he says, indeed, I have made him your master and all his brethren. I have given him as servants with grain and wine and sustained him. What shall I do for you, my son? And Esau said to his father, have you only one blessing? My father, bless me. Oh, bless me. Esau lifted his voice and wept. Wow. I mean, I love my dad, and I do want his favor. But I'll tell you what, I want my father in heaven here blessing more than I want my father biological. As we're wrapping up. Then Isaac said, his father answered and said to him, behold, your dwelling shall be of the fatness of the earth, the dew of heaven from above. By your sword, you're going to be a warrior, you shall live. You shall serve your brother, so you'll be under his authority, not you over in him as authority. And it shall come to pass when you become restless that you shall break his yoke from your neck. You'll no longer be under that burden. So Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing which his father had blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, because his mind wasn't working right, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. My dad's fixing to die, and after that, I'm killing the dude. 42. And the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. So she sent Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, surely your brother Esau comforts himself concerning you by intending to kill you. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee to my lying brother Laban in Haran, and stay with him a few days until your brother's fury turns away and until your brother's anger turns away from you and he forgets that you have done to him. That's that whole break the yoke from your neck. Then I will send for you from there. Why should I be bereaved also, both of you in one day? Because you're going to kill each other. Already felt you in my womb doing that thing. And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. the Hittites. If Jacob takes a wife of the daughter of Heth, like these who are the daughters of the land, that will be, that good will my life be to me. What good will it be? Yeah. Summation. We have blessings in two ways here. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. I know, right? We get to do worship. Do you guys get that way when you get to hear songs? Do you like cookie dance? You see men and women that were up here earlier that understand the blessing that they're blessing out over their children carries that exceedingly concerned that Isaac carried, that he got it mislaid. You see the mom operating in her desire. I don't know what her desires was for her son. You know, don't pit one kid against another. And if you're doing it, stop. And if you've done damage in doing it, go repent and repent to the Lord because you screwed with him first. And then go to the folks that you've done damage to and get clean with them. Be mindful about what you give blessing to. Well, I'm not going to lay my hands on my kids. No, but you're going to go ahead and allow them to be Facebooked up or Game of Thrones or whatever the war games, the video games are. Instead of taking that time to pull them in to show them about the word of the Lord and then go play the game with them, but then pull them away, show them when it's healthy to pull away. Be careful what you bless by your hands crossed and inactivity and engagement into other people's lives. But I want to do this. I want to do that. I want, you know what? When you put I in front of whatever that is, you just stepped into Satan's camp. Because God's will is the only thing that matters. You mean I'm not to think? No, he gave you that reserve. But you're to think of the things that he would prefer. Oh, man, stand before the Lord without that. It ain't a guilt trip, folks. It's just what it is. It's the practicality of it. I don't want to be these guys, man. Well documented, liars ran amok in my family. Don't want that. Don't want that. It should be to you that when you reach your hand out and you shake somebody's hand, that's an extension of what's going on in your mind. Your heart will follow that. Are you tracking? Is this tracking with you? I don't want to be whatever years old lamenting any longer. Well, I'm still lamenting and I'm X amount of years old. Then do business with him. We're going to be doing communion here. Don't take it in a profane way. If you love the Lord, it's there. If you're sinning, do a little business with him before you go up there and take the cup. Don't worry, it's just juice. It isn't alcohol. We're not going to trip you up that way. Crackers are gluten-free. I found the perfect gluten-free food. Water. Do some business with him. It's important that you retrack your lives to the Lord. I've lived a long life without him. I have my knowledge base based on school. And look, I've got a lot of educated people in my family. I've got a lot of educated people in my family. I have people that write curricula for PhD. And they're not wise in the matters of the Lord. And it scares me. The business is still between them and the Lord, but it concerns me. Take that beautiful education that he created, and by the way, we're just copiers. You know, the scientists said it's easy to make a human being. God says, is it? Yeah, it is. He says, anybody can make it out of dust. Really? Yeah, go ahead. He says, go ahead, start. And the scientist reached down and he grabs a scoop full of dirt. And God says, get your own dirt. We don't know as much as we think we know. We didn't put the moon into orbit. We did not put the planets into orbit. He spoke that. All the animals, he spoke that into existence. Thank you, Mount St. Helens. We got to see a rewrite on just how fast history can make itself evident to look like billions of years in mere minutes and days. You were hand-created in his image. Have you forgotten that? Did you know you came from dirt? Did you know you came from a bone? Ladies, gentlemen, as a last reminder, they came from your side, not your heel, so that you can step all over them. Women, did you know that you weren't taken from the bone of the head, bonehead, so that you wouldn't lord over them? You came from the side, that you come along beside. You ladies, you're amazing because God is amazing. We celebrate Mother's Day, but we celebrate the glory that God thought of even having the two become one flesh. I can't even get that far with how to create the emotion. And by the way, you're thinking about the thoughts and emotional level. He gave you that ability to do so. And then to be able to express love and caring. Wow. And so let me think. If he created that, then that's what he is. Why is he such a hard God? He's not. Sin makes it hard. Anything that you have against the Lord, please deal with that now. Come and do communion. I don't do communion. Okay, don't. I've been doing communion too often. Okay, then don't. The things that you're at odds with him, just take time quietly and confess as we do the last line. And come up and, why do you do communion anyway? To remind us of all the things that he's not on the cross for anymore. Because that cup that we see is the cup of judgment. And he took every single thing that you violated and I violated and the billions of people that have violated against the Lord. He took every piece of that sin right then and there. Forsaken on the cross in the sense of separation from man. Reunited in sense of coming back to him. Body broken beyond recognition. Recognizing his body, human form. Written 600 years before it happened. That it was going to happen. And then an empty cross as you're standing up there because he went into a tomb that was rolled away 3 days, risen again, and seen by hundreds afterwards. I still can't get past he was in a room eating with him and he went through the wall or whatever, the food wasn't left on the wall. But I didn't create that body. Father, we thank you for all of it. For every bit of it. Father, the trials we have, we thank you for them. The challenges that are woeful, we thank you for. And Lord, thanks for the joy. Joy is so much better than happiness because we know you're still there in the midst of all the other silliness. Happiness is so fleeting. Lord, thank you for these ladies, these beautiful women. Their souls just burst through their face. We're thankful for that, Lord. Thank you that you even created us with great complexity to be in deep dynamic relationship with you. You created us with a familial overtone. Father, we just want to surrender it to you. Guide our paths. In your name, amen and amen. Come on up whenever you want. There's no rhyme or reason. Just come.